Welcome back, WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. I got the mask on.
You did.
I got the mayor of Baltimore in his favorite place for a crab cake.
There's
it's only
no
taken us 8 months. Don Moeller is here, former Baltimore County executive. You have had the Coco's crab cake, Don.
I have had the Coco. I told you, and I tell the mayor, I'm so glad to be back. I mentioned to Marcella, last time I was in, it's hard to believe, it was just pre-pandemic, and Rob Roblin, former WBAL TV, loves it here. And Rob called me one day, and he said, come on, man, I'm going to take you to Coco's. And just like the mayor, everybody knew his name, you know. And
well,
this is the mayor's place. This is the mayor's place.
I want to tell you, you inspired the whole crab cake tour, and I told the friends at Fadley's, because you came down to Fadley's 2 years ago. You were still the city council president then. And you said, I love the Coco's crab cake. And I'm like, don't say that in Fadley's. You can't do that. And
well,
you,
look,
but you inspired.
It's no disrespect to Fadley's, right? But when you're a new breed elected official, telling the truth is always what you should do.
Right,
and
all right.
The fact is, there's no argument about this. It's been proclaimed by me, the mayor of Baltimore. The Coco's crab cake is the official Baltimore crab cake. There is no crab
this
cake
that can
compare. This
is the one you bet. When you bet a crab cake, this is the
this
crab
is
cake
the one
you
that
bet.
I bet. Now, the great thing is that we never have to send it because we win most of those bets, but this is the one that I bet, and this is where I eat. I don't know what I'm going to have to
How
increase.
Long have you been eating here? First time you came in here?
The first time I came in here was, I was in high school, I believe.
All right.
You know, I went to high school close by, so.
See, for Don and I being old guys, that was recently that you were in high school for us.
That was before he headed down there to St. Mary's College to become a Seahawk.
I passed Mervo on the way over here. I see you getting chippy about Mervo every Friday, right, this time of year.
We got a home playoff game on Friday.
See,
we beat Perry Hall 42-3.
That wasn't even close, 42-3.
Don, he doesn't know I'm in the Dundalk Hall of Fame, and the Owls are 9-0.
I know. We'll see you in a few. We'll see you in a few rounds.
Our chorus echo.
We'll see you in a few rounds.
He sings the Mount St. Joe fight song.
I do.
Do you know the Mervo fight song? Can you sing it?
Mergenthaler, Mergenthaler. Of course I know it. Come on.
I knew you knew it.
Come on.
I want to go. What's the over? All right, let's play a little game here. Over under 20. You've had crab cakes here over or under 20 in your life? Wait, I'm going to keep going.
20 this year.
I've had 15 in the last year. So you got to remember. So I'll tell you a quick, funny Coco story.
Go for it.
So I haven't seen the menu in ever, really. So recently, when they reopened in person, so throughout the pandemic, especially those of us in Northeast Baltimore, you would come here, you would see me, you would see all of our neighbors lined outside waiting for Coco's
for bags,
crab cake.
Right, yeah.
For bags, right? Mm-hmm. But when they came back, you know, as you heard, when we ordered our crab cake, I ordered a double. Well, I didn't know until recently that there was no double on the menu. That they were just doing that because I wanted two of them. Now you can get a double crab cake on the menu.
You're going to really eat a double?
Well, if you come to Coco's, you can't just get one.
They're big. They're huge.
You get one now. I'm
going to
eat one now.
They're the size
and
of softballs.
And I'm going to eat the other one later
there
on.
There you go.
Right, that's what I've been doing. Are you fried or are you broiled? What do you prefer?
I'm an either or, but here I'm going to have the broil.
But what I would say to you, when you take it home, this is where crab cakes, it gets complicated. Because every sponsor I know has these beautiful brown pictures of the crab cakes out of steaming. And when I take it home, I take that thing and I flatten it like a hockey puck and I fry it on the frying pan because we did that in Dundalk. So I like a fried crab cake, but one would want
to
see a picture
say this
of that.
To
It'd
you,
be ugly.
Mister, let me say this to you. If you take one home from Coco's, don't disgrace it. Don't mess with it. Don't touch it.
Well, what am I doing with it? Putting it in the broiler?
Just warming
warm
it up.
Warm it up. That's it.
You're just
warm
warming it up.
You don't have to mess with perfection.
Don't
you might have to do that with some of the crab cakes from Dundalk, but
gonna,
not here
no,
from
no,
Northeast
no, no,
Baltimore.
I'm going to make a pronouncement right now in front of the mayor and the former Baltimore County executive that no one has had more crab cakes than me this year.
But don't.
We
but
can
don't.
All agree with that.
But
nobody's
I
been
agree.
More place than more crab cakes. I'll still tell you. You fry it, it tastes better.
Wait a minute,
that's
but listen,
the way it is.
But do you hear what the mayor's saying? The mayor's saying that you've come to the holy land today.
Yeah. I'm going to eat it.
Don't disrespect the holy grail of crab cakes. That's disrespectful.
Marcella and her team have worked hard. They're going to bring you this softball.
Down at Fadley's, I told them there are places they put pimento in there. They turn their nose up.
Exactly.
You know, people are all like Gucci about their crab cakes.
Listen.
I love them all. Somebody said to me the other day, take me to the best place. And I said, this is like my children. They're crab cakes. They're all delicious.
But you've never had this one, have you?
I have.
I know they like your children,
I've been in Coco's, and I told Marcel
but
this.
If you were,
I've been here twice for crab cakes. That's it.
This is going all down the rails
crab
already.
Cakes I can eat, man. I've been doing 30 years of radio.
This is going down the
I'm
rails already.
I'm here with
already,
you today.
Man. This is unbelievable.
To Marcella, tell him I don't know
two
her
times?
For 25 years.
And you only been here twice?
For crab cakes.
He's got to get out more than Mary.
There's not anything else on the menu as far as I'm concerned.
That's it.
Well, she would argue with that because I've seen other things. By the way, the menu's on the wall here. We're at Coco's. He is our mayor, Brandon Scott. We're wearing masks. So first things first, let me be the angry citizen and all that.
Yeah.
Where are we with the masks? Because it's been 2 years. I'm wearing it. I sound funny on the radio. I'm being respectful. I'm double vaxxed. I am Mr. Mask. I believe I won't even touch you. I'm elbow, you know. But with the mask right now, what's the science telling us? What are the doctors telling us? And when do you anticipate this being better?
Yeah, I think a couple things. One, I think Don says you sound funny on the radio all the time. That's a separate thing. But for us, and as the health commissioner, I said a few weeks ago, we are looking at the CDC guidance and where we are with transmission. And we're in the highest risk category right now. When we're not in that, that's when we will consider. And we know, and I know personally, that masks themselves are not going to, you know, that's not the end-all be-all. As I had a breakthrough case, we know.
Do you know where you got it? No idea.
I'm pretty sure that we know where I got it. You have to think about it. I get tested 3 times a week, right? So I was negative that Monday, that Wednesday, that Friday, and then Monday, the next following Monday, I'm positive.
Mayor, how sick? That's a great topic because you hear so much about.
I don't know that I had it, right? I mean, you had it. Yeah.
But
sure.
you hear about these breakthrough infections. I know everyone's different. Talk about your experience. Was it like a bad cold? Was it? What'd you go through?
So what I went through. First, let me be very clear. If I was not being vaccinated, allowed me the opportunity to be able to continue to work, to really not have to go to hospital, to be alive, to be talking with you guys today. But for me, the number one thing that I experienced was going stir crazy, right? That was the reality.
Right.
Being stuck at home for 10 days.
Daytime TV's pretty bad.
Well, for me, it was driving my agency heads nuts. When you have the master, master video meeting account, you can just go into anyone. And when I just was quietly wait till the meeting starts, sneak into the meeting, halfway through start asking questions, driving agency directors crazy. But, you know, that's a good thing for me.
We're going to get into that. I want to talk about
where
your
stop. I spend my time. But for as far as symptoms, the first day I had a little bit of aches, and that was really it. Then I lost a taste and smell for a couple of days. But the number one thing is that I was just really tired, right? I would the energy I spent, it took a longer time for me to get that back, right? That was the big thing. And you had to, even coming out of it, I had to pace myself coming back, that I couldn't just go back to being normal. But now I'm back. I'm back to my flag football league, letting the 20-somethings know they can't go out.
Do you have any lingering symptoms?
No lingering symptoms. You know, played my first game back. I took like 3 plays off. That's it. So I'm back and feeling good.
Well, I mean, you were made famous for telling Shorty to put the mask on. A year later, you get it now. You can talk about it. It's obviously something that we're still sitting here wearing masks that you're concerned about as the mayor.
Yeah, I think that when you think that we've lost in Baltimore City over 400 people this year to COVID, we know this is still a real thing, right? That's this year alone. Over 400 to COVID this year.
While we're doing the COVID topic, very, very timely, I noticed now that we're vaccinating, we've been cleared to vaccinate children 5 to 11. I've read a number of articles that are worried about the equity issue and that children of color, children in our cities may not have the same opportunities as those in the suburbs. Talk about that issue and what your administration is trying to do to make sure that your children have the same access.
Yeah, it's the way that we've handled the whole pandemic. As you know, Hopkins has put out reports talking about how Baltimore's fared better than most cities. Bloomberg actually put out a report 2 weeks ago and has Baltimore as the number three city in the country with high black populations on how we're dealing with the pandemic. And because equity is the center of everything that I do, it's about taking the vaccine to them, right? When you think about when we announced it, we're having our clinics now. If you go on coronavirus.baltimorecity.gov or covax.baltimorecity.gov, for us, you look at the map of where the lowest vaccinations, you're going to see something else. That's exactly where our clinics are. That's where we're going directly to people. We're going to those schools because we have to eliminate the transportation and all the other barriers, Don. And that's how we're going to continue to drive our numbers in a better way, because we're going to eliminate all the kind of not just excuses, but the barriers, right, that they can't get there. And we had to extend and add more clinics last week for young people because the demand was so high.
Outstanding, outstanding. Again, we're with Mayor Brandon Scott. We are, you know, I realize as we sit down, it's hard to believe, 1 year, right, into 2 years, you've been mayor.
No, one year. It'll be one on December.
I'm going to say, yeah, the elections are staggered.
Don's been home in Catonsville a long time.
Yeah, no. I always have to get the state elections and the city elections, and they're on a staggered schedule. So 1 year in, one of the things that I was thinking about, what you were a councilman, you were city council president. There wasn't a whole lot that you didn't know about city government. But 1 year in, once you got into the big chair, what surprised you? What when you walked in there? There's that old line where I guess it was Tommy Dallas who said they bring you one pile of poo, and when you clean that up, they bring you another pile of poo. Yeah. But what surprised you about being mayor?
Oh, having been in city government since I was 23 years old and worked for council presidents and worked for mayors, being the council president myself and then becoming mayor, nothing really surprised me. I think that what made this time different and unique, Don, is that I came in and literally my first day I had to make the decision because COVID was going such in a bad direction that basically I had to, as I said to my staff, they were like, well, what are you going to do? We have to make a decision about what you're going to do on COVID and the restrictions. I said, we're going to put the restrictions in place.
Dude, I had people MFing you.
Oh, that's all, fine.
No. And I said to myself, day one, you think this guy wants to be unpopular
day one?
So I mean, you like this.
It's funny that you say that, Nestor, because some of my staff and some of them here, they were like, everyone's going to be mad at you. And you know what? I just calmly looked at them and said, there's something that you have to be mad at
someone. Well, if they're alive 4 years later.
They got to be. No, you got to be alive to be mad. I would rather have folks be alive and mad at me than dead. Right? And think about the thousands of people that we lost that are not here and how many more would have been that way if we didn't do what we did.
Well, I think it sent us a strong message to Mayor out of the gate that you weren't going to be afraid. I like Nestor's point that did anybody think that Mayor Brandon Scott woke up this morning and said, let me see if I can't really irritate all the restaurateurs in the city and make a lot of people mad?
Well, I mean, I'll be honest with you. It might cost you re-election 3.5 years from now, but you can't be worried about that if you feel like you did the right thing.
Well, listen, I have a lot of respect for you.
I tell people that all the time. I said that
when I came out of City Hall after I got sworn in, right? And if you look at how I did it in a different way. It wasn't some big fancy thing like, you know, outside with a whole bunch of people. It wasn't this long, drawn-out speech. It was quick and to the point that I was going to be different, that I was going to do the right thing, Nestor, not the popular one, even if it had negative consequences for me. Because I'm here to tell you that we're in the situation that we're in the city, no disrespect to them, that because so many of my predecessors didn't do that. They didn't think about what would happen to me and what situation I would be 30, 35 years ago. They thought about what they had to do to get reelected and move on. And that's something that I will not do to whoever is going to come behind me.
You know, Mayor, former, and Nestor's heard me say this, and we've had former Baltimore County Executive Jim Smith on the show a number of times. I said one of the most valuable lessons, it was 3 or 4 weeks after I had joined Jim as his communications director.
And you come from education where some people nod their head just to go along, right?
And I had seen him on two or three different occasions. I actually commented to my wife. He could have chosen door A or door B.
Yeah.
Neither one were terrible. Door A was more politically expedient. Door B was probably the more right, the better decision.
Right.
He chose B every time.
That's
right. To the point where I finally went in and I said, you know, boss, you got to help me here. You've chosen door B every time. Give me the philosophy behind it. And he said, Don, he said, you got to sleep at night. And over the years, what I've learned is, if you do the right thing, in the end, it usually also ends up being good politics.
Yeah.
But you've got, if you're going to live with yourself, you can only do the right
thing.
You
have to be able to sleep in your heart and your stomach and know that you did the right thing. You have to be able to do that. And that's all that matters.
Brandon Scott's here. He is our mayor. We're at Coco's. We're doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. I'm wearing my lottery mask. I don't even have to hold up my mug here. We're going to be in Abingdon with Harford County Executive Barry Glassman. You didn't even know that on Black Friday next week. And then we're going to be at Pappas in Cockeysville after. I want to ask you, you've spent more time than a lot of people have with the President of the United States. He's been here a couple of times. I've noticed the traffic patterns coming in.
Sorry,
obviously
about that.
The port, you know, all of that. But thoughts on him not doing the political expedient thing that Don talks about? Because every day I'm getting a poll that he's less popular. You're like, all of that. And I'm thinking, Joe Biden's 80 years old. He didn't care what's popular anymore. He's trying, you know, like he's not looking to get elected again, anything like that. That's a very difficult thing to do. And Joe's been here. Give me a little Joe update, because you spent some time.
We've been blessed to have the president and welcome the president to the city twice in the past month. I was in at the White House with him for the bill signing, and of course was at the White House over the summertime talking.
He know you yet? He look at you? Say,
oh,
nice
no,
hair,
he,
Brandon.
He no, he knows. And actually, I met the president twice before that. That happened. He does know me, and we have a good little.
Well, you
bit
were
of
part of the inauguration. You were part of the convention. The whole tribute. You did that whole shit.
Even when I met him when he was vice president at Camden Yards. So, and the president's listening. He'll tell you his family's from Baltimore, right? So, like the Bidens originally came from Baltimore. So, as I said in my remarks last week at the port, not just welcoming the president back to Baltimore, but welcoming him home. And when you think about what this president is doing, this agenda, the Build Back Better agenda, the infrastructure, and now the rest of Build Back Better, right? I think a couple of things, Nestor and Don. One, I can't believe that we're at a point in our country where bridges and roads have become partisan. I never thought that would happen, right? Because fixing a road, fixing a bridge, dealing with housing, dealing with lead paint, that's an issue that impacts Republicans, Democrats, moderates.
I drive out of my house on Charles Street. I get mad at you because you're in America because there's potholes. And I'm like, those aren't Republican potholes or Democratic potholes.
Exactly.
Right?
That,
literally.
Like, that, this infrastructure bill is a huge deal. Or as I said to him, it's a BFD, as he would say.
Right.
Because
he made that phrase famous.
He did make it famous. Because it not only... Will it, and for folks like you who are always angry at us, right? If you live on
the
street,
if
you live on Charles Street, right? The reality is that the funding formula to fix streets like Charles Street comes from the feds, right? And we all know that spigot has been, as Don knows very well,
right,
turned off for a very long time. This is going to allow cities and counties and states around the country to fix those things, build our infrastructure for the next generation, but more importantly, put people to work who need it. And when you think about the totality of everything that's going on, when I have folks talk to me and people are saying, you were saying that the infrastructure bill has to be in the jobs that come considered with that have to be considered in how you fight crime. I was like, absolutely. Because if you're putting people to work, right, if folks are able to have opportunities like my granddad did when he moved here from rural Virginia to work at General and end up working at General Motors, that's how you create the pathway for people to go from lower class to working class to middle class. And we haven't done that in our country in such a long time. And I think the president was very courageous. I think the president did what we need our elected officials to do, is to block out the noise, know what's right, stick to it, know that no one, not, and this is something I think is very important in this, no one, not even the president of the United States, the leader of the free world, gets everything that they want. because he didn't get everything he wanted from this bill. But he knew that it was much deeper than him, that we had to get as much as we could for the future of our country. And I think that's something that we all should be thankful for.
I want a break because we're going to get a crab cake for the mayor. Mayor Brandon Scott is here.
A lot to talk about.
We're Coco's. You said the C word, crime. So we'll begin next segment because that's, you know, we got you for an hour. We're gonna hit you with every shot we got as a city resident and someone who loves the town.
When we come back, Nestor, I also want to talk. We asked the mayor what surprised him. I also want to find out what's the most frustrating thing in year one.
Yeah.
I looked down, the phone was ringing, it was Commissioner Harrison. She didn't return that call. We're here at Coco's, the crab cakes are coming, it's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. We're letting ourselves play with Baltimore's Mayor Brandon Scott. Back for more right after this.
Right behind you there, Mayor.
There we go.